Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
I don't want things to change.
You can't stop the change any more than you can stop the suns from setting.
If there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, and we have a new podcast host with us, as you may have heard in that brand spanking new intro. Jesse Cardella is our new podcast host who is going to be joining us every single week on Twin Suns Transmission. Say hi, Jesse.
Hi, everybody.
We're so happy that Jesse is here and joining the Twin Suns Transmission team. So we're going to go into our How's Our Star Wars, but before we do that, Jesse, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you became a fan so our listeners can know a little bit more about you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Wars was always a thing that I knew about when I was a kid. My cousins that I stayed with a lot would have all of the movies, and we'd watch them all the time and play with the figures, but as I started to get older and spend a lot more time at my house, I didn't have access to any of it, and it wasn't just like a household name, so it wasn't really until I got into college and I met Eric, and he reintroduced me to Star Wars, and then the Clone Wars, which had come out, I think, that first year of college that we went.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It was 2008 when Star Wars The Clone Wars originally hit the theaters, and we were 18 at that time, so yeah, we were freshmen in college.
Yeah, and so it wasn't until I had really got into Clone Wars that I had completely delved into the Star Wars fandom and just became obsessed, all of us.
And Jesse, you were a listener of Twin Suns Transmission prior to becoming a host, so you know us very well, and you're a very consistent listener, and now you actually get to be a part of the team. So congratulations, yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks, I'm really excited.
Yeah, and you listened to our countdown to The Force Awakens, which is what we did prior to when Episode 7, The Force Awakens, came out, where we went through all the different episodes and Clone Wars and Rebels, and that, like, confirmed the fact that you were a diehard fan and, you know, was able to get you back into the loop as far as learning the Star Wars story and all that.
So, definitely.
All right. Well, let's go into our segment, which we call How's Your Star Wars? And for all our new listeners out there, basically what this segment is Jesse and I will pick something that we did this week relating to Star Wars. Now, for both of us, Star Wars is involved in our everyday living, but these are just some of our highlights for the past week. So, Jesse, how was your Star Wars this week?
My Star Wars was great. So, I have this little keychain. It's an R2-D2 keychain that is on my person at all times. And it has a little leg that falls off all the time. But every time it falls off, I'm able to find it. And so my boyfriend, Brandon, he fixes my car this past week. And he had my keychain. He brings it back to me, and there's no leg on it. And I'm like, okay, what did you do with my R2-D2 leg? It always comes back, so you have to look for it, and it'll be fine. It'll come back. A couple days later, he comes over and he's like, okay, I can't find this leg anywhere. And he's like, but I got you another little droid. And I was like, had a very Anakin moment inside my head where I was like, I don't want another little droid. I want my R2-D2 leg back. Uh-huh. And he was like, so I did some research and I found out that Ahsoka Tano has a droid. Mm-hmm. And this is her droid. And he got me. It is R7A7 little keychain, Ahsoka Tano's droid. And this is a guy who doesn't know very much about Star Wars at all, besides what I have forced him to watch. And he did research and found me a little droid that I'm super happy about.
Wow.
Ahsoka is my absolute favorite character, so that means a lot.
Yeah, well, that was nice of him, and at least he, you know, did the research to figure out what is around and what you like, and so now you have a little replacement droid, as long as it's not Goldie, because Goldie in Star Wars A Clone Wars, who tries to replace R2-D2, is kind of a traitor. So,
that's what I said. I was like, this better, I think this is Goldie. I don't want Goldie. And then I ended up having to look it up, because I didn't even think about Ahsoka, like, having a droid assigned to her. I mean, I think he's in, like, 3 episodes of Clone Wars. But he is. It's hers, and it's not Goldie. I made sure of it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's... It's the little things in life sometimes
it
that
is.
Totally it make
is.
It. Yeah. Well, for me, a couple weeks ago, I decided that I was going to go out to California. And I took the visit of Lucasfilm, and at Lucasfilm, in their general store, they have this Skywalker wine, and you've probably seen it. Comes in like a bluish bottle with a bluish label on it, and the bottles are about $70, at least for the Pinots. And for me, you know, I buy like $8 to $10 bottles of wine because I'm cheap.
me too.
And so I was like, oh man, I really do not want to buy this, but I want it so badly for the collection. And so I was like, if I buy this here, can I get this shipped to my house? And they're like, well, we have an online website that you can actually just go on. And so I was like, oh, I think it's called like SkywalkerVineyards.com or something. And so when I got home, I was like, oh, I have to order this wine because I would love to be able to have it in my collection. I'd love to be able to have one to try. And they have all different kinds of wine on there. So you don't have to get the Pinot. You can get a white wine of some kind. You can get I think they have rosés on there as well. But I got the Pinot Noir, and it was from 2013. I got 2 of them. Because I wanted to have one for the collection, and I wanted to try one. Now,
you can't have one without having not tried it.
Right. And therefore, I had to get 2. Because I wanted one that was unopened for the collection. So, because that's just the way I am. I'm a freak about that. I want things boxed and mint condition stuff. So, what I did was I got 2, and I drank 1, and it tasted absolutely fantastic. Normally, I'm not a huge fan of Pinot Noirs. I usually like Merlots or Cabernets or whatever, but I ended up getting this Pinot Noir, and I guess for me, if you spend over a certain dollar amount on Pinots, they're pretty good. This was absolutely fantastic. Very smooth, went down very easily, and the,
nice.
And the little cork, it says it's got like Skywalker Ranch on it and stuff like, or yeah, Skywalker Vineyards, I think it says. So, obviously, all this stuff went into the collection, and very excited about it. And I have to say, I'm probably going to end up ordering some of the other kinds to have those bottles in the collection as well at some point. So, I'm pretty sure it's SkywalkerVineyards.com if you want to buy some yourself. So, that ended up showing up at my house on Tuesday this week, or last week. So, that was definitely a nice surprise, and I had to try it, like, almost immediately. So...
That is so cool. I did not even know that was something that was available.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink?
I know I'm only supposed to pick one thing, but I'm picking another thing. I had Adam Bray over to take a gander at the collection. He came in for a tour, and we had Adam Bray on here before as a guest. He did some interview. He did an interview with us, and... So that was a lot of fun, and he finally got to see the collection and sign some of my books and stuff. So definitely check out Adam Bray, and you can get a bunch of his books on Amazon as well as a bunch of the bookstores in your local area. He's written the Star Wars Rebels visual guides. He helped out with the Ultimate Star Wars, which is a big encyclopedia-type book. There's a new Lego book that came out like a month or two ago. That he had written that comes with a minifigure of Unkar's Brute. So he's a very cool guy, very down to earth, loves Star Wars, and he was able to come take a tour of the collection this past weekend. So that was a lot of fun for me as well. Lots of exciting Star Wars things going on, which is going to lead us into this week's Star Wars News of the Week. Unfortunately, this week we had a, or I guess it was last week, we had a passing of one of our dearest Star Wars actors who's been around since the very beginning. Kenny Baker died at the age of 81, and this is obviously the guy who portrayed R2-D2 in the Star Wars films. And many people don't understand that Kenny Baker actually went inside the R2-D2 costume. He's only 3'8" tall. So this guy was a great guy. It's very sad for the Star Wars community, and so our thoughts and prayers are with his family. Mm-hmm. So, Jesse, tell us about Ashley Eckstein.
Okay, well, Ashley Eckstein was actually named one of the 25 Awesome Women of 2016 by Good Housekeeping Magazine. She was named one of the creatives for starting her universe and providing fangirls with clothes of their favorite fandoms. The video that was put out by Good Housekeeping and Awestruck Video was really, really sweet. Of course, Ashley Eckstein is always really sweet, but I like almost cried when I watched this video.
Yeah.
It's so, so sweet. She just says pretty much in the video that she just wanted a safe community where female fans could be themselves. And that's just awesome.
Yeah, and there's been a big uprising, not uprising, but growth in, you know, the fact that it's a well-known fact that now females are fans, and they've always been fans, and it's okay to be a girl and be a fan, and you want to, you know, wear Star Wars clothes and be a collector, and it doesn't matter that you're a girl. You know, girls like Star Wars too, and girls are fans as well, and as we see in the latest two Star Wars films, we have Rey, obviously, a very strong female lead character. And it looks like Jyn Erso in Rogue One is also going to be very similar, very strong female character as well. And I think it was Ashley Eckstein who sort of took the bull by the horns with this movement and kind of took charge of it. So
she did. And being the awesome lady she is, she even went above and beyond and is now doing her own Awesome Woman Award on Instagram. So you can put your picture of the awesome woman in your life on Instagram and you'll hashtag GHA Awesome Woman and tag at her universe and at Good Housekeeping. And you can win a $50 Her Universe gift card for you and your awesome woman. So you each get $50 towards Her Universe. Wow. And it expires August 30th. So you have until August 30th to enter in this contest on Instagram.
That's awesome.
I think so, too.
I think that might be something that, you know, it's easy to do. So might as well just do it, right? You have a chance to win $50, I mean $100 if you and your awesome woman. So
yeah,
that's a lot of merchandise right there. So
it is a lot of cute Ray tops for sure.
Oh boy, don't tell me that. Now I'm gonna have to go and buy a bunch of that stuff.
She's got a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, Ashley Eckstein definitely deserves this, and you know, she is the most down-to-earth, sweetest person that you'll ever meet. You know, super nice. She definitely takes time for the fans. She, in Celebration London, she flew out there for, like, not even a full day and then flew back because she had to get back to work on stuff for San Diego Comic-Con. So she totally adores the fans. She definitely deserves this. So, you know, congratulations, Ashley, on your nomination. And definitely check out her little contest that she's got on Instagram for sure. So, Star Wars Battlefront, this is a game we've been talking about for a very long time now. And starting next month, we don't have an official release date yet. But there's a new expansion, Star Wars The Death Star expansion, and this looks incredible. So there's been a bunch of new announcements relating to this. There's been a new game mode announced, and this is a game mode called Battle Station. And what's interesting about this is that there are three different phases related to this Battle Station game mode, and one of them is in space. Actually, two of them are in space, which we have not seen yet in Star Wars Battlefront. You've been in ships, but you've mostly been around the atmosphere. You know, you'll be flying around like the clouds in Cloud City, or you'll be flying through canyons on Tatooine or whatever. But now we're actually in space around the Death Star, which makes sense since this is the Death Star expansion. But you have X-Wings, A-Wings, TIE Fighters, and TIE Interceptors, which you can be in the first phase. And I'm on the StarWars.EA site right now, and basically what the first phase is the Rebels have to destroy enough TIE Fighters until the Y-Wing support can come in to weaken the Death Star's defenses. Once vulnerable, Rebel Starfighters can attack weak spots in efforts to bring the Star Destroyer down. In an effort to help defend...
That sounds awesome.
Yes. In efforts to help defend this key asset for the Empire, players along with artificial intelligence ships will be set up to help defend the Star Destroyer. And then Phase 2, you actually get to go on the Death Star, inside it, and the Rebels are apparently trying to extract this droid from within the Death Star, and obviously the Empire is trying to stop that, and this is the area where you can then become Bosk or Chewbacca, which are the two new heroes that are in this expansion. So I know a lot of people are super excited for Chewbacca. I love Chewbacca. I'm more excited for Bosk, though. I cannot
wait
for Bosk, yes. For those of you who know about our other podcast on this Twin Suns Podcast Network, Ashla Analysis, I tend to side with bad guys. I like the dark side.
True.
Yes. So I'm very excited for Bosk, the Trandoshan. And to see what that bounty hunter will bring to the game. I know Chewbacca will be a lot of fun as well, though. So it works. The Trandoshans and the Wookiees don't really like each other anyway, so it'll be exciting. So that's Phase 2. And then Phase 3, you actually go out back into space in ships, and you can play as Luke Skywalker in his Red 5 X-Wing or Darth Vader in his TIE Advanced. So that'll be pretty cool as well. Some unique ships to add to the fray. So, again, we don't know when this is coming out, but it's going to be a great expansion to have added to the Battlefront repertoire. So, very excited for Star Wars Battlefront Death Star expansion.
There is a cantina restaurant coming to Hollywood. It's going to be called the Scum and Villainy Cantina. So, it's modeled after the Mos Eisley Cantina. And it's coming to Hollywood this winter. It's going to be a temporary restaurant, so you have to get in there quick. With each reservation, you get two drinks, a souvenir pint glass, and a Scum and Villainy challenge coin.
Wow.
And it seems like a very interesting collector's spot to stop. It seems like it's going to be kind of difficult to get reservations there because there's only three times a day that you can get reservations.
Jeez.
So,
how do you make a reservation? Online or?
Well, it seems like they haven't started taking reservations yet, but I'm not 100% sure. It seems like your reservation will be a two-hour reservation, so it seems like they're trying to move people in and out quickly. They're probably expecting mass amounts of people to be getting in there. You can also do walk-ins, but I don't think the walk-ins get all of that good stuff that comes with the reservations. You can walk in and hang out at the bar or whatever and get your specialty Mos Eisley drinks, mm-hmm. blue milk, that sort of thing. But I don't think you get all of the cool stuff that comes with the reservation.
Well, then you should just try to get a reservation then, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It says it's a fully immersive experience. And you can check it out at scumandvillainycantina.com. And it encourages costumes, but please leave your droids at home.
Okay. Yes, we don't serve their kind here.
Hey, we don't serve their kind here. What?
You're a droid. They'll have to wait outside. We don't want them here.
So that'll be cool. I mean, I think the cantina is a very popular thing. Lots of people like the cantina. It's one of the very first Star Wars, locations that we got to see ever. And it was one of those things where we have all these aliens and stuff. So I think it'll be really cool to see a restaurant decked out to be like the cantina. And that brings me to also get excited about the Star Wars land that we're going to get at the Disney parks. Because they're going to have a lot of themed stuff like this as well. So that'll be very cool. I definitely need to make it out to Hollywood then to hit up this this cantina restaurant for sure. Sounds like it'll be a good time.
You're in California a lot, so hopefully you'll be able to make it out there.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and get into our main topic of this week's podcast. We've had a lot of information that has been coming out related to Star Wars Rogue One, the very first anthology film, which is due out on December 16th. And we got a trailer relatively recently, which aired during the Olympics.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the Rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home!
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks.
There isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference. Are you with me?
All the way.
And Jesse, at what point did you see this trailer? Did you watch this when it was on the Olympics, or did you see it later online?
I think it was the next day online. I did not get to see it during the Olympics.
Okay. It was really weird because I knew they were going to release a trailer, and I knew it was going to be during the Olympics. And I, to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the Olympics. Like, I might sit down if my family's watching it or something, but I don't really watch the Olympics all that much. But I knew they were going to have a Rogue One trailer air during the Olympics. But I was off doing something else. I was at one of my buddies' house, and so I didn't get home until a little bit later. I kept checking online, Facebook, and everything on my phone to see if the trailer had aired. Hadn't seen anything, and I actually saw some people's texts that were basically like, I thought we were supposed to get a trailer tonight, right? And, you know, like, nobody had seen this trailer. So I get home, I sit on the couch, I start watching TV. I'm watching, like, you know, cartoons or something. And then I'm like, I'll just flip over and I will see if maybe I can catch the Rogue One trailer on the Olympics if I haven't watched it yet. As soon as I turn it over, Ryan Seacrest, I believe that's who it was like, all right, and here's the debut of the new Rogue One trailer. So I was like, wow, that was perfect timing. So I actually was able to record it and watch it on the TV, on, you know, the quote-unquote big screen, which compared to, you know, the computer or whatever. But So I saw it for the first time, great timing for me, on the TV, and then I ended up watching it a million times over, just like many of us did online. So this is our first full-length official trailer. We had seen some other stuff, but this is like the first official full-length feature trailer where we get to see a bunch of amazing things. Did anything in particular stick out to you relating to this trailer, Jesse?
K2SO stuck out. I have a thing for the droids, and he just seems like he's going to be the funny comic relief of what seems like a heart-stopping movie, and I'm just really excited for him. He seems so funny. I don't think we've ever had a droid to that height.
Yeah.
You know, he's huge.
Yeah.
He just seems like his personality is much smaller than his actual... Not his personality is smaller. I should say, like, his, like, demeanor. Like, he just seems so much sweeter than his height is.
Yeah.
You know? He seems very intimidating, but also his voice is very sweet. So I'm excited to see more of him.
Yeah. And I can't remember the exact line, but he was talking to Jin, and he's like, I guess I won't kill you now.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know?
That was
so
the best.
I mean, to him, that's just normal conversation, but to us, that's just something funny to say. And
yeah.
So when you're watching that, you know, you laugh because that's funny. Now, we did see a lot in the Force Awakens trailer before the Force Awakens came out that we really didn't get to see much of in the actual film. We had seen similar scenes and things like that, but when we actually saw the movie, you know, for example, the scene in the trailer where we see Kylo Ren walk out into the snow and ignite his lightsaber, from the back we see that, and we don't actually see that exact scene in the Force Awakens movie.
Right.
So many of the stuff that we see in the Rogue One trailer, you know, hopefully we get to see it. At least we'll see similar things, but there may be certain scenes or whatever that we really don't get to see. I mean, if you think about it, it's August right now. The movie doesn't come out until December. There's probably a lot that they're still working on relating to this movie. So, you know, we may not see everything that we see in the trailer.
Sure.
But you know that for the most part, it'll be a very similar story. I think for me, seeing Vader again was really awesome. At the very end of the trailer, we hear the breathing. We kind of get to see the back of his head. And I was actually in the Rogue One panel at Star Wars Celebration London, which they showed a special, very short, like, teaser to everybody that was in the main auditorium panel. And then everybody who was watching the live stream basically just got to see the sizzle reel again. And it really didn't show a whole lot, but, you know, we obviously knew from watching this little teaser that we got at Celebration London that Vader was going to be in it. And, of course, the Entertainment Weekly magazine that came out a couple weeks ago or a month ago now, probably, maybe a couple months ago, it said Vader is back on it. So, you know, we knew Vader was going to be in it, but this is actually us seeing the back of Vader's helmet and hearing that breathing.
That's so exciting.
And what was your reaction when you saw that? Did you freak out a little bit, or were you kind of expecting to see him?
I mean, I think we were all really expecting it. I just don't think everybody knows the extent to which he's going to be in it, but to actually have it, like, the visual confirmed that at least we will see his presence. I mean, we kind of knew, but yes, I had a little bit of goosebumps when that scene came up.
And I think, you know, with the Force Awakens trailer, they had the very end, you know, it was Chewie, we're home. And at that moment, we saw so many different reaction videos, you know, with people watching the trailer for the first time, that they were just crying, like uncontrollably sobbing, you know, like you could definitely tell that it really hit people emotionally, you know, it was tugging on their heartstrings. And I think this movie, it's going to be very different from what we are used to related to Star Wars films.
I think so, too. I was trying to describe it to my parents, and I was like, it's going to be like a like a war film, and they were like, well, it's called Star Wars, and it's, and then I had to like stop and think about it, and I was like, well, yeah, but like this seems like a legitimate, like serious war film.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't know how to pivot to them to make it different.
Yeah. I think it's going to have a much darker tone to it. And, you know, I heard a lot of people were saying, well, that's what these reshoots were about. It was too dark for the typical audience that's going to go see Star Wars. And while people who have been fans for a long time, they, you know, may want to see a Star Wars film with a little bit of a darker tone. But, you know, when you get right down to it, Star Wars was made originally for kids. It's a PG movie. At least they've been PG movies. They started up, to, you know, started out to be PG movies. The only movie, the only two movies that have PG-13 up until this point were Episode 3 and The Force Awakens, which were the two most recent Star Wars movies. Now I know that the PG-13 ratings didn't exist back when they first started to make the Star Wars movies, but you always have that comic relief in there. The droids are always bickering back and forth. Of course, you have Jar Jar Binks in there, and when you get right down to it, it really is for kids. You know, Finn is cracking jokes, and Finn's being all funny in The Force Awakens. And
BB-8 thumbs up.
Of course, you have that. And I know a lot of people thought that The Force Awakens was probably the funniest of all the Star Wars films. So, you know, it is made for it's made for all different ages of audiences. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, what George wanted it was to be a younger audience. Not like cartoons or, you know, Mickey Mouse or whatever, but you know what I mean. It's for a younger audience, and it's something that parents should be able to take their kids to. Now, having said that, we get to Rogue One here, and it's going to be a much darker film. It's going to be more warlike, and so it'll be interesting to see what the final product looks like. And I know on the last show that we did, Rachel Rosselli, who's also my co-host on Ashla Analysis, her and I were talking about the fact that Rogue One may not even have an opening crawl. Kathleen Kennedy said something like that. So the beginning of the movie is also going to be different. Do you have any thoughts on the opening crawl? Like, would you be upset if they didn't have an opening crawl?
I think I would be a little bit upset if they didn't have an opening crawl. I think I get that it's not like one of the episodes, you know, it's a Star Wars story. It doesn't exactly go in line with the Skywalker storyline. Well, Vader's going to be in it, so technically it should. So it should have a crawl. I don't know, it's still Star Wars. It should have a crawl. It should tell us where we are and set us up for it. And I hope that they do it. I mean, it won't be devastating. I'll still be able to enjoy the survive. Movie. If it doesn't, I'll survive. Yeah. But I feel like it should still have a crawl. It's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Well, I can see it both ways. I can see how purists, you know, if you were around during the 1970s when Star Wars first came out, and they, you know, began with crawls, and they've had crawls ever since. I remember people were getting kind of a little bit upset when the Clone Wars came out, which was clearly made for kids, and there was no opening crawl there. There was just a narrator that was sort of narrating what was going on during that time period. But, and some people, you know, purists that were around in the 70s were kind of upset that there was no crawl. But then I think the fact that the Clone Wars cartoon had a TV show that went with it where they had a narrator explain everything, they're like, oh, okay, well, I see why they had to do it that way. You know, but now this is going to be the first of Star Wars anthology films. And my understanding, and I don't know anything because I'm not making the movie, is that Darth Vader will have a very limited role. I do not think that he's going to be in the film for, you know, a lot of time. We have this new character, director Orson Krennic, who's going to be the main villain of Rogue One. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. There's probably not going to be a whole lot of lightsaber battles in this film because
I've seen one Jedi. No Jedi.
Yeah. So we'll see how it works out. We're all gone. Is there anything else from the trailer that really stood out to you? I mean, we get to see the Death Star, which is upside down. We get to see sort of the Death Star being put together. We get to see the U-Wing in action, which is something that they had introduced to us in the Star Wars show. And then we got a little bit more information on this U-Wing in the Star Wars After Show. And basically what this U-Wing is, it's a new ship that is sort of a troop transport, which is why we didn't see it in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, because there would be no reason for the Rebels to drop troops off on the Death Star when they're trying to blow it up. So, you know, some people were kind of like, well, why did they introduce a new ship, the U-Wing? They haven't, you know, we didn't get to see that before. Why is it here now? Well, it's because they did not want to drop troops off at the Death Star. There would be no reason for that. So we get to see new ships. We get to see new characters. You know, Donnie Yen's character looks like he's just going to be a beast, just taking dudes out like crazy. So that'll be awesome.
He seems like he is a Force user to me, or a Force believer.
Yes.
And that really stood out to me.
Yeah, so he's like the martial artist, and he's got like a staff and a stick. So, yeah, he looks like he'll be cool. I think Jyn Erso is going to be really cool. I think she'll be a role model for a lot of young fans out there as well.
Yes, so. She seems really awesome. And from the first trailer, just when at the end she turns and she is in what looks like possibly a TIE pilot outfit, and she turns and she just looks at the camera like, I already want to be her, just from that moment. Like, I wish I could cosplay that costume right now, and she just looks amazing.
Yeah. She's obviously going to be a little bit of a rebellious person. She's not going to be your typical rebel that, you know, follows orders all the time. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know. And Luke Skywalker, to a certain extent, was kind of like that. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of the characters who clearly have a destiny and a greater calling. And if you've listened to Twin Suns Transmission in the past, and, you know, you've been listening for a while, you know that my favorite character is Anakin Skywalker. But I've also developed an extreme love for the character of Rey. You know, she's a scavenger, but she's got a greater calling. She's not meant to be a scavenger. Anakin is not meant to be a slave. Luke Skywalker is not meant to be a moisture farmer. They have this greater calling. Now, in this film, Rogue One, we get Jyn Erso being the main character. I'm not sure if she'll have that same thing, which is totally fine, because it's not, you know, it's not going to be a story of a Jedi. So it'll definitely be a different feel, since we're not following these Jedi around. At least we don't think so. So, you know, the trailer definitely produced a lot of cool moments. And so coming up soon, at the very end of September, we have Force Friday again. So there's a bunch of Rogue One merchandise that's going to be hitting your stores on September 30th. And this is something that I was actually able to go to last year. They had it on September 4th for the release of the Star Wars The Force Awakens merchandise. And a bunch of stores will open at midnight, but then other stores will open at 6 a.m. on September 30th. So I remember last year I just waited outside Toys R Us, got all my merch there, went to Walmart, went to another Walmart, went to bed for like 2 hours, got up, went to Target, went to Hot Topic, went to the Disney store, went to all these other places to get all of the merchandise for The Force Awakens. And now we're having this again. I think it's called Rogue Day or Rogue Friday for Star Wars Rogue One. So, Jesse, are you planning on doing this year? You're gonna hit up some of the stores for some of the Star Wars merch?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I would love to get my hands on a Jyn if she's going to be beyond a... She was an exclusive, right?
Yes.
So, but she has to show up in stores because she's Jyn.
The Jyn Erso exclusive San Diego Comic-Con figure will also be produced as a regular 6-inch Black Series figure, which I believe will be available on Force Friday. But the reason why it was an exclusive at San Diego Comic-Con was because she came with a special box with a pamphlet or something that comes with it. So, but yeah, she will be available, Black Series 6-inch, and I'm sure they'll have some 3 3/4-inch figures as well for that. But you know, just like The Force Awakens, we really have not seen a ton of merchandise so far related to Rogue One that you can buy in stores currently. We've seen t-shirts that you can pick up at the Disney parks. We've seen pins that you can pick up at the Disney parks. We've seen a couple things, you know, like some t-shirts, again, that you could pick up at Star Wars Celebration London, which benefit Force for Change, just like the pins do. And we've got a couple, you know, the magazine, the Rogue One magazine. We have the exclusive Rogue One poster that people got at Celebration London if you went to the panel. But really, there's not a whole lot of merchandise out there right now for Rogue One, which is very similar to what happened with The Force Awakens when we had The Force Awakens coming out. So this Force Friday or Rogue Day or Rogue Friday, whatever you want to call it, September 30th, that's going to be the next big explosion for Star Wars merchandise. So if you've seen some of the stores like Target or Walmart kind of rearranging their Star Wars stuff or putting a bunch of things on clearance that came out when The Force Awakens came out, that's because we're getting ready here for the next Force Friday on September 30th. So definitely check that out for sure. On line this week, we saw Empire has been releasing some new pictures of some of their magazines that are going to be coming out related to Rogue One. There's two different magazines that we got to see. And one of them is, it's called the Massive Winter Preview. And it's going to be about movies. And of course, Jesse, I know you're a huge Harry Potter fan, so there's going to be a little segment on Fantastic Beasts.
I saw that.
Yep.
Right over Krennic's head.
Yep.
To the left.
Yep. Yep. So we have director Orson Krennic, that's the main character on one of the magazines, with a couple Death Troopers behind him, what looks like it could be taking place on the Death Star, so that'll be pretty cool. And then there's another one which has what looks like the main group of our rebels that we get to see, with Jyn Erso taking up the front. So that'll be really cool as well. And it's got little stickers that say Star Wars exclusive and all this stuff. So as far as I know, there has not been a release date yet for this. It says October 2016 on the cover. So we still got a couple months yet, but that'll be pretty cool.
I thought it was kind of interesting that Saw Gerrera wasn't on either of the covers. He's like prominent in the trailer.
Yeah.
But he's not on the covers.
That's true. Where's Saw Gerrera? Let's start.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. yeah, and I saw somebody post the other day too that Saw Gerrera's hair and beard look different in the different trailers and things like that. And apparently Forrest Whitaker said that a lot of time goes past during the movie, so, you know, which is why we see the Death Star, you know, built, and then we see it being built, and then we see it done, and then we get to see, you know, different hair lengths and stuff for Saw Gerrera. So maybe, you know, maybe there's
that's
a big gap.
That's what's really important.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So, but that's a good point. I did not realize that he wasn't on there.
No.
So
I thought that was odd.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be really cool when we actually get to see, like, a, you know, the theatrical poster for Rogue One. You know, when it comes out, like, you'll be able to see it in theaters and stuff. And I am very excited to put my original trilogy Stormtrooper costume back on and wander around the halls of the movie theater prior to the movie coming out at midnight. So that'll be a lot of fun as well.
That'll be awesome.
Yes. Now, let's talk briefly before we get into our trivia for the week here, Jesse. We know exactly when this movie takes place. This takes place prior to Episode 4. The very first Star Wars movie ever. And so, what kind of expectations do you have for Rogue One? I mean, what are you expecting to see here?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I hope it's intense. Mm-hmm. Like, because all for A New Hope, what we get, you know, we have the plans of the Death Star, and we're going to do this. And I would assume that getting the plans of the Death Star would be just as difficult. So, I mean, or more so difficult. Like, there has to be some kind of, like, super spy double agent thing going on in order to get these. Like, there's no way that was easy. So it should be more intense, more thrilling than anything we've seen yet, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I think, like, you hit the nail right on the head there. To be able to acquire the Death Star plan should be one of the most challenging feats that any of our rebels have to deal with. Now, granted, destroying the Death Star is going to be something huge, too, but once you know how to do it, executing it may not be easy, but you have a Jedi that's flying around that's doing things right. For you, you know, or at least a Force user that, you know, has superhuman abilities. Now, here you have a bunch of no-name rebels running around trying to get the plans for the Death Star, which, of course, you know that the Empire wants to keep super secret, but who knows what role Vader will play. Maybe he uses his lightsaber, maybe he doesn't, you know, I don't know. It should be a good film, though. I'm wondering if we'll get to see some sort of love story in this at all.
I didn't consider that at all.
It's going to be such a dark movie, and I'm sure we'll get some comic relief, but you got to wonder, are they going to throw a love story in here at all? I'm thinking no. I wouldn't be surprised,
no, too, just because... I mean, I feel like everybody's on the feminist kick, which is great. And I think what that means is there doesn't need to be a love story for there to be a prominent female.
Yeah.
You know, to be like the strong female forefront heroine, you don't have to have a love story. And yeah. I think that's what it's all about right now, which is great.
Yeah. And, you know, she looks like she's just wrecking people in the trailer. So she's probably not worrying about a guy.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I've better things to worry about.
Yeah. So Rogue One definitely is going to be an exciting new movie, much different feel. And I know you and I, Jesse, are both very excited for this to actually hit theaters in December. So that'll be really cool. But let us go into this week's Star Wars trivia. Jesse, what do you got for us?
Last week's trivia was, what is the name and species of space monkey? The answer was, space monkey's name is Bastan, and his species is Ikaru. David answered this correctly, so congratulations, David. And this week's trivia is, how many internal levels did the Death Star have? So if you know the answer to this week's trivia, comment under our post on Trinsun's transmission on Facebook.
All right, and... This is a challenging question. You know, we had talked a little bit about the Death Star relating to Rogue One, and, you know, we got to see it under construction, and then we get to see it completed, and we get to see what looks like an eclipse of some sort. So we figured it would be great to learn a little bit more on the Death Star. So if you know the answer to how many internal levels the Death Star has, like Jesse said, please comment on our Facebook page, and the first person to answer that correctly will get a shout-out on next week's show. So, Jesse, are you on social media at all? We have to tell our listeners if you are so that they can keep up with what's going on in your life.
I am. I am on Twitter at CardellaMJ, and I am on Instagram as Jess, living with muggles.
Okay, all right. So you can follow Jesse on either Twitter or Instagram or both. And if you want to keep up with me, you can follow me on Twitter as well @_EricPfeiffer or on Instagram @FuseUmbrella13. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me at Twin Suns Outpost or Twin Suns Transmission on Facebook.com. Or you can also find me and keep up with my Star Wars collection at facebook.com/PfeifferCon. So for Eric and Jesse, we thank you so much for tuning back into Twin Suns Transmission after our few week hiatus. Thank you so much for returning. We'll see you next week. May the Force be with you.
Air Master, Tatooine. It's controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This sounds too a mother to me, I think.